I'm going to carry on from where we stopped the last time. And for several weeks now, we've been looking at relationships. We started off by looking at the impact that the relationships that we have or that we're involved in can have in our, can have on our lives. We also looked at, in the second part, the types of relationships that we see around. We looked at boyfriend, girlfriend, we looked at courtship. And we tried to ascertain that, look, the thing that distinguishes relationships in that context is the purpose. And if we ask that question, that simple, what's the purpose of this relationship, it can clarify a lot of things. Then the last time, we also looked at, I think that was the last one we looked at. Yes, thank you. The last time we looked at finding a spouse, and we drilled into some detail there. And some of the main points we made was the fact that, look, what are the things that you should be doing before you get married? We said one should be trying to improve one's relationship with God. If you're a man, you should try and get some sort of trade or work to do so that you can support yourself and your wife eventually. We also mentioned categorically that, look, God is the one that helps us to find the right person, that we can't really use our human judgment. Although, obviously, when you meet someone, you know, you need to ask, see that you guys are compatible and all that. But primarily, it's our faith in God and depending on God to help us to, well, to provide us with the right person. And as we have that in mind, other things will fall into place. So that's what we looked at for the past couple of, for a while now, concert around this series. So today I'm going to do the final part, which is parent-children relationship. And in this one, I'm going to be kind of like giving parents advice and children advice as well, together from this perspective, then we'll end this. I'll also put it on our website as well, so if you want to listen again. All right, let's just pray. Father, we ask that as we look at your word this morning, that you give us understanding, that it would not just be the letter, but that we will get the spirit of the word, that you illuminate these things in our heart, in Jesus' name. All right, so we're looking at parents and children. For those of us who don't have children yet or who are not married, it's good to keep these things in mind, because sometimes you might think, look, I'm not a parent yet, I'll just skip that part. Go to the part that relates to me. But the thing is that these things will help you. Once you have that knowledge and that understanding, in the future, you can just rewind to this time and it will help you. Now, for parents, I'm going to be looking at four things. For children as well, I'll look at four things if time permits. Now, from the parents' perspective, the first thing I want to say is that children are a blessing from God. Now, let's look at Psalm 127 and verse 3. Psalm 127 and verse 3. It says, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. That's the NIV version. I'll read the King James version. King James version says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So it says, children are a heritage from the Lord. Now, why am I emphasizing this point that children are blessing? Children are a blessing from God. Well, I'm emphasizing this point because, quite frankly, if you look at the way some parents consider their children, sometimes, you know, they get a bit angry with kids. I know that's, I'm not saying, you know, the normal annoyance that happens between parents and children. But some people look at children, or they treat their children or view children as a hindrance, as an inconvenience. It's like, oh, now that I have children, I can't go to the Bahamas on my own. And, you know, I have to look for somewhere to, you know. And, you know, such parents forget that children are a blessing. So we're supposed to view our children as a blessing from God, not as hindrances or, oh, you know, I have to do this now. No. It says children are a heritage from the Lord. No. Now, I took time to look at what that word heritage means from the dictionary. I like to do that. Now, what is a heritage? From the Webster's Online Dictionary says, a heritage is something transmitted by or acquired from a predecessor. That's what Webster's Dictionary defines a heritage as. It says something transmitted by or acquired from a predecessor. I looked at another definition of heritage. It says property that is or may be inherited. It now goes to say it's an inheritance. Another definition says a heritage is a special or individual possession, an allotted portion. So when the Bible says that children are a heritage from the Lord, and we've read what this heritage thing means, we begin to see that, look, the children that we have or children are not really the owned by their parents. Children have been given to parents as keepers from God. So really, these children, all children, are God's own. I don't want to use the word property. They belong to God. So God is saying, okay, look, I'm going to give you these children as an inheritance. Do you understand what I mean? It's just like, for example, you know, someone's dad or grandfather passes away and they read their will and they say, look, I've left you this for your inheritance. Do you understand? So you get that inheritance, and how you treat that inheritance is up to you. However, let's assume that the person you inherited the thing from was still alive. And they say, okay, I'm just going to give, before I die or whatever, I'll still give you anyway. I'm sure they will not be very pleased if, you know, they give you something that is precious to their heart and you mistreat or mishandle that thing. Do you understand? They will not be pleased. They might not be able to say anything because it's now yours, but they might not be pleased. But they will be pleased if you treat what they've given you with respect, with appreciation, because really you haven't worked for it. It's something you inherited. The same way children are an inheritance from God. When God, anyone that has a child should see that, oh, God has given me this as an inheritance. This is a child that I've inherited from God to look after. Not, oh, an inconvenience. Do you understand what I mean? That's how God looks at children. So we say, first thing is that children are a blessing from God, from what we've read. Now, the second part I'm going to read, it's almost like a warning. Well, not like a warning, actually. It's like a thing for deep consideration to parents. Now, the next thing I noted is that God is very particular about children. God loves children so much. And the harshest warning he gave anyone was concerning children. We'll read that. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. Jesus said, let the little ones come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So Jesus embraced children. He was excited about children. He always wanted them to, you know, come to him. The adults would be like, no, go and play somewhere else. No, he always embraced them, was always, you know, happy to see them. Now, Matthew 18, verse 16. So this is where the warning now comes to parents, or the note. It says, Matthew 18, 6. This is Jesus speaking. It says, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him to have a large milestone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, we know this can be applied to new believers in Christ. But if we look at it literally, what Christ is saying here, if we apply it to parents, is that for any parent that causes their children to, particularly for their children that are born again, to go astray, God is not going to take it easy with that person. I'm telling you. He didn't give this kind of warning to adults. God is not going to take it easy with that person, because God cherishes these little children so much, and particularly believers who are young. He so cherishes them, and he gives a stern warning. Now, so that's that. So we said children are a blessing from God. Parents, you view them as such. God is very particular about children. He always, you know, has a keen interest, and he gives a very stiff warning for people who mislead children. The next thing is this. The third point I just want to point out from a parental perspective is that parents have the responsibility to train their children. I'll say that again. Parents have the responsibility to train their children, not the school, not the church, not the pastor, not the auntie or the uncle. When I use that word responsibility, I'm not saying that children cannot be taught by different people or trained. Obviously, you know, kids go to school, they get taught physics and chemistry and all that by their teachers and everything. But what I'm not saying that children cannot be taught elsewhere. But what I'm saying is that parents have the responsibility, the main responsibility, the sole responsibility of ensuring that their children are trained, brought up properly. Now, when I say trained, I'm not talking about just educational, okay, nice, you did your homework. No. I'm not talking about that. I think that just constitutes a little fraction of the training that children need. Now, let's look at children and how God views this. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Children have the, and parents have the responsibility to train children. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, it says, God was talking about Abraham. He says, "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord." I'll stop there. So God is expecting that for parents, that we will train children to keep God's way. So it's not enough to send children for guitar lessons, violin lessons, and they learn all those. That's good training. But God is particularly concerned that we must teach our children to keep the way of the Lord. To keep the way of the Lord. So what that means is that it's not enough for them to know Bible verses and go to a Sunday school once every Sunday, once a week. That's fine. But that's just knowledge. Here it says to keep. That is action, like practice, to keep the way of the Lord. So the other thing, let's say Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. It's quite a popular one. Proverbs 22, verse 6. And that passage says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." Now, what does it mean to train someone? Does it mean you wake them up every morning and say, okay, cram all these notes from the Bible? Well, you can do that, but that's not ideal, actually. What does training actually mean from a parental perspective? I looked it up. And training, I'll read the definition that I got here. It says, to teach a particular skill or a type of behavior through sustained practice and instruction. It says to teach a skill or a type of behavior. So training is not just teaching them skills from an academic perspective. It's teaching them a type of behavior. All right? A type of behavior. So what that tells us is that, and it says if we train them, when they're old, they will not depart from it. So what that means is that it is not the responsibility of the church or the school or someone somewhere to train people's children. No, you have the responsibility. And God holds us accountable for that responsibility. Do you get what I mean? So it says you should train them in a particular, in a skill. It doesn't stop in skill, but a way of behaving. All right? A way of behaving. So what this means is that we must really keep an eye on our kids with the view of looking at each individual child, because they all have their own different behavioral patterns and stuff, and looking and say, okay, for this particular child of mine, what is it about them? Then you highlight what it is about them with God's help, and whatever skill they have that they don't even know they have, you help them bring it out, and also ensure that they behave in a particular way. Behavior can be trained, as the Bible tells us here. They behave in a particular way. But I must put a PS under that point. The PS I'm going to put there is that every parent has a responsibility to ensure that their children know God and that their children are truly born again. Why do I say that? Now, when the kids are young, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, no problem. They have the capacity, I'll say, to still behave well. As they grow older, well, some have the capacity to behave better than others, maybe based on environment, on personality. Some people are quiet, some people, you know, so they might still behave well, so to speak. But for a child that is not born again, as that child grows up with best intentions, what will happen is that that child might begin to misbehave. And the parent is now trying to get them to behave in a particular way. So what happens if the child is not born again is that you have something called behavior management. So what that parent is doing, not their fault, is like, behave this way. Don't do this, don't do that. And the child will conform. The child might even be sincere in conforming. But because of that nature that we all have, all right, and because they're not born again, that spirit, the spirit of God that they need to behave in the way of the Lord from the heart is not there. So what you have is behavior modification. That's why you come across people and they'll say, my child used to go to Sunday school. My child used to be so quiet. Suddenly they went to university and they went haywire. It was a different person. Well, it could be that that child wasn't born again. And what happened is that within the constraints of the house, their behavior was guarded. But do you understand? So parents have the responsibility to ensure that their children are born again as soon as possible so that they can have the inner desire to know God. All right? So that's to parents. So I've said God is, children are a blessing from God. God is very particular about children. Parents have the responsibility to train children. I'll mention one thing on that, the training of the children. Let's look at Romans chapter 2, verse 21. Then we'll look at another point, still on our parents. Now, as parents, one thing that one has to really, really fight against is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Or hypocrisy, depending if you're an American or British. It says, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? So can you imagine? I remember there was a time that I called this mother because we hadn't seen her in church or something. And as I called, her son or daughter, I can't remember, picked up the phone. And in the background, I could hear the mother's voice saying, oh, say I'm not at home. Say I'm not at home. Say I'm not at home. So he said, oh, mommy's not at home. I said, okay, no problem. Say hello to mommy when she gets back. So in my mind, I was now thinking that these people come to church, you know. So how are you, a parent, having done that kind of thing, how will you be able to confront your child and say, why did you lie? They might not answer you, right? But in their mind, they're saying, why shouldn't I lie? You're a liar. But they won't tell you that if you're a Nigerian parent or West Indian, because they know what's going to come on after that. They say, don't do as I do. Do what I say. It doesn't work like that. It's better you tell, if you're a hypocrite, right, or you're a liar, just say, okay, don't worry. Like son, like father, I'm a liar myself, but try and improve. Me too, I'm trying. Don't be a hypocrite. I'm telling you, because if you're a hypocrite as a parent, I can almost assure you, unless those children, God has just, you know, they will follow suit. So if you are a loafer, as a man or a woman, how are you going to tell your children not to be loafers? Go and study. Go and do this thing. And say, ah, dad, you don't go to work. You just stay at home all day and watch daytime TV. And dad, that man said you should go to the job center to look for work. And you tore that letter. Why didn't you go? Why are you watching daytime TV? And the dad is not saying, you need to be better. They just look at you and say, if they're proper British kids, and American, they say, excuse me, dad, that's a lie. But obviously, they won't say that to your face. So what I'm saying is that for parents, there's a big responsibility. Do you understand? So What I'm saying is this. Each time I want to tell our kids, okay, they're not kids, our children, teenagers, you know, can you imagine if I now tell them, look, I tell them, you must, you know, ensure you go to church meetings and they get dressed on a Sunday and they're ready to go and I'm still snoring upstairs. I say, kids, you know what? I'm not going to church today. I'll meet you there later. Forget that I'm the pastor. I'll meet you there later. Go and be praying for us. And tell their mom, dear, make sure you drop them in church in time. Today I'm tired. What message are you sending? You're a hypocrite. Unless you tell them, children, you know what? I'm a hypocrite. I don't want you guys to be a hypocrite like me. Go to church, but know that your dad is a hypocrite. You can say it that way, but you know, you're not going to say that. Yeah, it's true. So we see that the responsibility for parenting is quite interesting. It places a high standard on parents. And any parent that takes that responsibility carelessly and says, it doesn't matter, I'll do what I can do. I'm living my life. Let them live their own life. When it's their turn to make the decisions, they will make the right decisions. Really? Then I'll read to you Matthew 18:6, which we read earlier, but you don't have to turn there. So we see that it's a grave responsibility for parents. All right. Now, the last thing I want to say about parents, now, this is just my own, you know, contribution to it. It's not really from the Bible per se. And that's the fourth thing. I'll end with the parents. And for the children, I'll just mention a couple of things. So the other thing as well for parents is to create memories for their children so that when they grow up, they can think back and they say, okay, oh, this is how we used to do this when I was young. In our own house, we have a couple of things we do. I want someone has looked at me with wide eyes. One thing we do is we do certain things, for example, around birthdays. I'm not going to give details about it. You have to go and do your own. So, but for everybody's birthday, there's something we do. When it's that person's birthday, we have a special way, a unique way of doing what we do. And every year, everybody's looking forward to it. It's like, oh, it's my turn. It's my birthday. And, you know, we do it in a particular, we celebrate it in a particular day, in a particular way. We wake up really early. I don't give away the trade secrets and all that. You know, we've done all those things. And we know that when our young children, what do I call these folks now? Leave. They will remember. Teenagers, yeah. They will remember that. I mean, the other thing we also do once in a while, as often as we can, is we sit with them and we study the Bible. And we say, okay, what did you learn from this Bible verse? So when they leave, they'll know that, okay, their parents used to do Bible study with them, you know, discuss the Bible with them. So it's something that they can take with them. Do you understand? So good memories. We don't want our children to think, oh, the memory I think of, you know, not in this church anyway, of this parent is, you know, just shouting and, oh, goodness, I'm out of the house now. No. Do you understand what I mean? Let's give them good memories. Although I know sometimes some children can, you know, really wind their parents up, but we don't have this kind of children here. I know I did. I wound my parents up so badly. But I regret that. That was when I was So I've repented. All right, So for the parent side, we've said children are a blessing from God. God is very particular about children. Parents have the responsibility to train children. And as much as possible, you know, parents should give their children good memories. Now, we look at children, and I'm going to look at that for just about 10 or so minutes. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, this is a loaded statement. So what that means is that for children, even if Someone's parents are irresponsible, even if they don't look after the child, even if they're not diligent. That child must still honor their parents. What does it mean to honor? It means to treat with respect. To treat with respect. That's what honor means. And what the Bible is saying, that any child that doesn't honor their parents, if I take this in the opposite, it may not go well with them. In fact, it goes on to say that they might not even live a good long life on the earth. Now, someone will say, how about if the parents are really horrible to the children? Maybe they even abandoned them. That's not a good thing. But whatever the case, even if, you know, someone has to be, is not with, no longer with their parents because maybe their parents are, you know, they've just chosen their way and they're not going to have anything to do with the kids or whatever. In relating to them, whenever one relates to them, that parent has to be treated with honor. Even if the parent is a wino. You know what a wino is? You know a wino in America? The child still has to teach, still has to look at the parents and treat them with honor and with respect. So that's the first thing that we read there. Now, for children as well, another thing I want to mention is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 4, verse 12. It says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example of the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. So, the Bible begins to tell us about that for children, don't look at yourself and say, oh, I'm too young and I must misbehave or I'm not going to. No, 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 no. The Bible says that as a young person, that you can be an example for the believers. It didn't even say be an example to young believers like yourself, to believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith. So what that means that as a young person growing up, your behavior can be so godly that even adults, when they see you, they'll be like, oh, let me stop misbehaving. If this young person, you know, can know God like this, if this young person is not misbehaving, if this person is showing such godly character, if this young person is obeying the Bible, I think I might as well follow suit. Or suit. Is sweet. Suit. Suta. Sutet. Sweets. Suit. Sit. Sit. Don't worry, I'll edit that part out of the tape. Anyway. So what I'm just saying is that for young people, you can be an example. Because the truth of the matter is that in your schools and around, a lot of young people might not come to church. But when they come across you and they know, okay, this person is a Christian, this person is a believer, how do they know? From your way, from your behavior, from the way you speak, it says speech, from your lifestyle, for your how you love, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, for your faith and for your purity. So you can be an example as a young person, even to your parents. Do you understand? So that's one thing. Now, for young people, the third thing I want to say is this, and I'm just going to go through this in passing. As a young person, as a child, children must always remember that whatever they're doing has a consequence. And that consequence at that time might be far greater than what they think. That consequence, the consequence of an action they take, might be far, far greater. For example, you might have a child who is like, look, I'm not even going to go to school again. Because at that time, maybe they're 12 or 11, and they're just really tired of going to school. Maybe the conditions are a bit harsh and all that. And they're like, look, why do I have to go to school? Someone is 11. And they say, oh, I don't want to go to school. Or I'm not going to pay attention to my grades. That teacher, I don't like that teacher. So I'm going to skip that teacher's class. And that's one of your core subjects. But because you don't like the teacher. So that's a child reacting to the circumstance. To them, it's like, I don't like that teacher and I'm not going to go to that class. In fact, I'm going to show the teacher I don't like them. I'll make sure I get all the answers wrong. And the truth of the matter is that they might not realize the consequence of their action. To them, it's just they're reacting. All right? So what I'm saying is that for children, you must understand that the actions you take now have a far-reaching effect. You know what I mean? It has a far-reaching effect. So, just to mention that. Now, some other points I just want to give as, you know, we can take down the scriptures, kind of like as advice to children or to younger people. The first one, avoid laziness. Laziness, lethargy, I'll call it. They say that for a lot of times that for young people, you know, they might feel, you know, tired and stuff. Avoid laziness. That's what the Bible says. Let's take down the scriptures. Proverbs chapter 6, 9 to 11. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6, and 1 Corinthians 15, 13. The next thing is avoid evil desires and worldliness. As a young person, you know, one, because of peer pressure, you might want to behave the way people around you are behaving, even though it might not be correct. Bible says don't do it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. As a young person, you must always remember that God has a plan for you. I mean, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God said something to Jeremiah there. He said, before Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, let's look at it. And God told Jeremiah something there. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. So for every young person, you must realize that, you know, your life is not just a mistake. Your life is not just going in any direction that it's, you know, any uncharted direction. Your life actually has a purpose. You might not understand all that now, but know at the back of your mind that God has a plan for you as a young person. And you should try your utmost best to follow God so that you can achieve, or so that the plans that God has for you can be fulfilled. Jeremiah 29:11. Now, to round up for young people as well, one thing I want to say for young people is love your siblings. For young people, what that means is that a lot of times you might be like, oh, the brother, one brother might not like, might be, you know, arguing with their sister, or sister to brother and all that. But the Bible doesn't want us to be like that. God wants us to love one another. Do you understand? So what am I saying here as I round up the series? I'm saying that for parents, the Bible lays out clear responsibilities for us. It's only if God just intervenes and personally takes that child from you and begins to direct that child because such a person is so irresponsible. And when I mean so irresponsible, I'm talking about irresponsibility, not the fact that you send them to school and all that. Irresponsibility from the fact that a parent is not training their child to obey God's word. So if a parent sends their children to the best university, the best private schools, the best music school and all that, but they fail, particularly, I mean, as a believer, they fail to teach and train their children with regards to obeying the word of God, then that parent, from God's eyes, has not really fulfilled everything that they should. All right? So for anyone that's planning to have kids, it's a big responsibility. For those who have already, good luck. But the great thing as well is that Bible tells us that because these children are in a heritage of God, I believe that God also provides us the means to look after them emotionally and spiritually. Amen. Let's just pray.